This is WBAA Classical. I'm Richard Miles. The Wabash Valley Youth Symphony will be in performance Sunday evening at 7 at the Long Center in downtown Lafayette. There are two works on the program, the Concerto Grosso by American composer Vittorio Giannini and the first movement of the Dvorak Cello Concerto with one of the winners of the WVYS Concerto Competition, Julia Kostraba, as soloist. Julia is in the studio with me. We're also joined by the conductor of the Wabash Valley Youth Symphony, Adam Bodoni. Welcome to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Adam, COVID-19 has sort of destroyed the performing arts all over the world in the last year and a half, and it's taken its toll here in Lafayette and West Lafayette as well. But the Youth Symphony has managed to put on two concerts. You got a third one coming up. What's sort of been the decision-making process and the challenges of trying to get three concerts out?
Yeah, those of us in the performing arts know there are sort of three tiers of COVID-19 artistic casualties, we'll say. String players typically have the least amount of aerosol release when they play, since they don't use their mouth, right, except just to breathe. So string playing has been fairly untouched. We've had to distance and mask, of course. Winds and brass, of course, cause a different problem because their mechanism of their playing is through their mouth. So this year in the Wabash Valley Youth Symphony, we haven't been able to accommodate winds and brass players, which has been very unfortunate, especially for the graduating seniors. But we're still keeping in touch with them and honoring them at the end of the season. And then the third tier, which doesn't apply to us, are vocalists, where it's all aerosol all the time. Since orchestras are predominantly made out of string players, we've been able to just play as a string orchestra, essentially, throughout the year, which is what lots of youth groups and colleges are doing across the country.
So obviously that put pressure on you to find different repertoire for the group. Is that how you came up with a new piece by a composer many of us probably haven't heard of?
Right. Well, I have to give credit to my department chair here at Purdue University, Jay Gephardt. He literally sent me an email maybe 6 to 8 months ago, said, "Hey, I heard this piece. I thought you might like it." And so I did like it and gave it some more thought and thought it'd be a great piece to program. Has lots of energy, definitely unique sounding. In the string orchestra repertoire, there are sort of maybe 5 to 7 pieces that always get done all the time. So to do something quote-unquote newish, I thought was an important opportunity.
What's the piece like? What can people expect?
It's in a classical form, so if you pull out your CDs of the best 50 classical music pieces, you know, from your drawer, you'll probably have a Bach Brandenburg concerto somewhere in there, but with sort of a neo-romantic harmonic flavor, so it might sound a little more modern than you would suspect out of something like Bach. Think Bach plus 20th century.
And more than one soloist.
Correct. One violin on first violin, one on second violin, viola, and cello. So the word concerto grosso basically just means more than one soloist. They're part of the orchestra for part of the piece, and then they break apart and form their own quartet at the same time.
Also gives an opportunity then for four students to shine a bit rather than just one in a piece.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extra rehearsal?
Actually, yeah. We have had to have just the four on their own a few times.
And have they enjoyed learning the piece?
Julie, I'm going to go to you on that.
Yes, it's been a fun piece to learn.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, let's turn to you. And so you are one of the winners of the competition this year, so you get to do some solo work. You're a cellist. Why the cello?
Well, when I was 3, my parents started me on violin. I always played it like a cello. So when I was 7, they got my sister and I a cello for Christmas, and I soon switched over. So I've been playing it ever since.
Gotcha. So you found your thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So how long have you been playing since you were...
Since I was 7, so 10 years now.
So you're almost done with school.
Yes.
Big plans coming up?
Yes, I'm actually going to study with Amit Paled at Peabody. It's the conservatory at Johns Hopkins University.
Excellent. So what piece are you playing?
I'm going to be playing the first movement of the Dvorak Cello Concerto.
And why did you pick that?
The Dvorak has been one of my favorite pieces for a long time. I've always wanted to play it, even before I was ready to play it.
What attracts you to that piece?
It's very virtuosic, and it also has very pretty lyrical sections in it. And it also has a storyline back behind the piece, which if you delve more deeply into that, it can help you with making the phrasing.
What's the storyline?
So Dvorak was Czech, and he was in America, and he wanted to go back. So he was longing for his native land. So a lot of the longing and homesickness is into the piece.
Is woven into that. You're not playing the whole thing, are you?
No, just the first movement.
Just the first movement, which in and of itself is got a lot of stuff going on in that first movement. Big emotional swings, in addition to a lot of notes. How do you keep your emotions in check with a piece like that? How do you keep from going off the rails?
Well, when you're playing, you really can't have any emotions too much because you'll stop thinking about the technical side of the piece. And all the emotion really comes from technical things, although you do have to imagine the emotions during the piece, but you can't let them overtake you.
So, a lot of practice then?
Yes.
Yes.
COVID-19 actually interweaves into this Dvorak because the standard instrumentation for this concerto was full orchestra, winds, brass, percussion.
Right.
It's a very major work. And it was actually at the suggestion of Julia's teacher, Austin Huntington, the principal cellist of the Indianapolis Symphony. He had come across a strings-only arrangement of this concerto, which is very unique. This doesn't get done often. So we looked into it and ordered it from this fellow named Sahum Sang Hong. And that's what the orchestra will be playing as the backup band, is this strings-only arrangement. So it's very challenging for the orchestra. I mean, Julia's part is crazy challenging, of course. But what would have been maybe a less hard piece is now made more challenging because each of the five string sections are now basically playing a woodwind line and a brass line at the same time as their own, and it just dovetails every other measure or so.
So it sounds like you guys have done a good job of making a pivot in a terrible world and finding a way to make a great experience for the kids.
I would like to think so. There's nothing more important than making sure kids still get to play. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, we're so thrilled that you ended up getting three concerts in, the two at the high school with limited audience and now at the Long Center. We hope that people will stop by. We want to remind folks that it will be Sunday at 7 at the Long Center, downtown Lafayette. It is a free concert, but bring your mask and come and be ready to be social distance and come with open ears and be ready to hear a couple of new things, a new piece, and then a piece you may be familiar with, but done in a new way. Thank you both so much for joining us here at WBAA. And if you'd like to hear this interview again, you can find it at WBAA.org, or you can find it on our mobile app. For WBAA Classical, I'm Richard Miles.